Good afternoon. 4:30 and 47 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Arlo Barnett.
It is perhaps unlikely that we would address it during the short session because it would be a revenue item and we normally reserve those for budget years.
State Representative Jill York doubts that the state legislature will change Kentucky's gas tax next year despite falling revenues.
A home in Magoffin County exploded early today.
And Kentucky's community and technical college system has a new president.
In sports, the MSU basketball team is in Cincinnati tonight to take on the Bearcats.
Bud Luke has the business news.
It'll be mostly cloudy and not as cold tonight with lows in the mid-20s. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
The Ohio Fire Marshal is investigating a blaze in Lucasville that destroyed a downtown business. The fire gutted Crabtree Carpet, and it took seven fire departments working late last night and early this morning to bring the blaze under control. Chris Vowell is a neighbor of the owner. He spoke with WSAZ.
A lot of money lost and a lot of time spent going down the drain. And the guy plays a big role in the community. He's always an athletic booster for schools. He's always helping everybody out.
Officials say a fierce wind and freezing temperatures hampered response to that fire.
Two people escaped injury when their home exploded this morning in Magoffin County. Here's KNN's Ed Huckleberry.
The explosion occurred around 6:30 at a home on K Patton Branch. Two people in the home were able to get out but were taken to a local hospital for evaluation. Firefighters tell WKYT that the home had an oxygen tank that blew up in the fire, but they aren't sure how it began. There's a possibility an electric heater may have been involved as the ignition source.
And that's Kentucky News Network's Ed Huckleberry.
The number of highway fatalities is dropping in Kentucky. 557 people have died this year on Kentucky highways, compared to 575 people the previous year. State police and highway officials are looking at preventing even more roadway deaths in the future, thanks to a pilot program called Finish Strong, which combines a presence of more police on the road with a public information campaign on impaired driving. Bob Bell is Kentucky's Director of Highway Safety.
We believe that one fatality is too many. You think 560, 600 fatalities, that's still a big number. But from where we've come from in the last 8 years, it is progress.
The state is now at its lowest fatality rate in 50 years.
While your wallet may be a little thicker, thanks to lower gas prices at the pump, the dip in fuel costs is having the opposite effect on the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet. Josh James has more.
Kentucky funds its road and bridge projects with what's essentially a user's fee, an added tax at the pump that's calculated based on the average wholesale price for motor fuels. But that business model is starting to show its age as cars and trucks become more fuel efficient. Combine that with the recent drop in gas prices, and the result, come New Year's Day, will be the largest ever decrease for the motor fuels tax in a single quarter, 4.3 cents per gallon.
This would be a considerable loss of revenue to have to make up for. Something would have to suffer somewhere down the line.
Cabinet spokesman Chuck Wolf says in all, the road fund stands to lose up to $129 million.
It's not possible at this time to point to a particular project or a particular type of work that might be delayed or canceled altogether. The cabinet will manage its budget as the revenues come in.
And Wolf says that's an increasingly tough job, considering this latest decrease will be the fourth drop in the last five quarters. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
A Carter County lawmaker says it's doubtful the Kentucky legislature will alter the state's gas tax next year to stabilize revenues for road and bridge maintenance. State Representative Jill York is a member of the House Appropriations and Revenue Committee. Collections from Kentucky's sales tax on gas have been falling because it's tied to the price of fuel, and the cost has been dropping for several months. York says legislators are monitoring the situation, but are not likely to take action next year.
That is a concern because of the nature of the monies used to create roadways and maintain roadways are tied to that fund, which is contingent upon the gas prices. But I know that there's a great many consumers out there sighing a bit of relief that in this world where prices always seem to inch ever more upward to see something in retreat.
York says she doesn't believe the General Assembly will change the gas tax during a non-budget session.
A sales tax holiday for back-to-school purchases in Ohio would not have a significant impact on the state's revenues. That's according to a University of Cincinnati research associate, who examined the issue for the Ohio Council of Retail Merchants. Jeff Rexhausen testified Tuesday before the House Finance and Appropriations Committee. He says exempting the state sales tax on school supplies, clothing, and electronics during a three-day period in August would save households with children statewide about $37 million. Rexhausen says the project is based on Florida's experience with a back-to-school tax holiday.
We estimated that if Ohio implements a similar sales tax holiday, that sales tax revenue during the month of the holiday would not change by a statistically significant amount. Consumers increase their purchases of taxable items when they shop for tax-exempt items, and this helps to offset declines in sales tax revenue.
Rexhausen says for the average Ohio household, the savings would come to about $27. The Ohio Senate is considering a bill authorizing a sales tax holiday for school purchases.
The new GOP Congress needs to take meaningful action on immigration reform as quickly as possible. That's according to State Senator-elect Ralph Alvarado. The Republican was among the participants today in a teleconference on the subject arranged by the Partnership for a New American Economy. Alvarado is a physician from Winchester who says real reform starts with border security and streamlining the process for legal immigration.
For those 11 to 15 million people who are here illegally, we really shouldn't reward them for breaking the law, but it's impractical and insensitive to try and deport these individuals. And there should be a way for people who have lived in America for years, have learned English, have paid fines and all their taxes, and established themselves as upstanding citizens, residents, with no criminal record, to be allowed to come out of the shadows.
Alvarado says Congress should also consider granting residency to foreign students who are pursuing advanced degrees in math science and engineering at U.S. universities.
The U.S. continues to be considered at low risk for an outbreak of Ebola, and the chances of that happening in Kentucky are even more remote. That's what the commissioner for the Kentucky Department of Health told a legislative panel in Frankfort this afternoon. Dr. Stephanie Mayfield Gibson testified before the Interim Joint Committee on Health and Welfare.
We continue to screen passengers through five airports in the United States, of which the final destination of people going through those 70% are in six states. Kentucky is not even in the top 20, and Kentucky receives much fewer than 1% of those particular travelers.
Even so, Dr. Mayfield Gibson says she has an Ebola team and holds regular conference calls with healthcare providers to make sure they have the latest information on the deadly disease.
A construction manager has been picked by the Round Fiscal Court to handle the oversight of the building of the county's new 300-bed detention center. The court has given the job to Trace Creek Construction of Vanceburg. Judge Executive Jim Nichols says Trace Creek beat out three other companies to do the work.
They were very likable. They had a good professional team. And then, of course, we do background checks. We go and talk with folks who they've done projects with before. Everything was very positive. We just felt like that they would be the best to do this project.
Trace Creek will join the Frankfort architectural firm of DLZ and Civic Finance Advisors of Lexington on the construction team for Rowan's new jail. Nickel expects the group to select a site for the facility by February.
The Board of Regents for the Kentucky Community and Technical College System has selected J.K. Box as its next president. Board Chairman P.G. Peoples said the board voted in a special session today in favor of Box to succeed the retiring Michael B. McCall on January 16th. Box has been chancellor of the system since 2009 and has more than 30 years of experience in the community college leadership. He appeared at a forum Tuesday for faculty, staff, and students in Versailles.
The Boyd County Middle School will soon have a new look. MSPR's Braxton Howard has that story.
The Boyd Board of Education has announced plans to renovate Boyd County Middle School. The school board said on Tuesday it has chosen the firm of Sherman Carter Barnhart to do the $18.8 million design and build the facility. It's the same firm that performed the $40 million renovation to Boyd County High School in 2012. There are plans to add new windows, install new heating and air conditioning, along with adding extensive new technology and a new roof. Because the school is near the top of the list of Kentucky schools with urgent repair needs, the state will pay for most of the renovation work. Boyd Superintendent Brock Walters says the effort should start next fall. Reporting for MSPR, I'm Braxton Howard.
Some Cave Run Lake fishermen are happy with the new habitats being placed in the lake, but say they aren't satisfied with the fish they are catching. Local fishermen and Friends of Cave Run Lake members say that, by their count, anglers on the lake are not happy with the size or quantity of fish they catch. However, that dissatisfaction was not reflected in this year's survey results, which were announced yesterday by the Department of Fish and Wildlife. Tom Timmerman is the Northeast District Biologist for the DFW. He says the department has a plan to increase fish populations and satisfaction rates.
The Habitat Project is one of two or three different things we're doing as our black bass management strategy. The regulation is one thing, krill limit is one thing, and the Habitat Project is another thing that we feel like is going to help contribute to improving the bass population as a whole.
Timmerman says the habitats will increase populations for bigger fish and give fishermen a better chance of catching more large fish per outing. He says two habitats were completed this year and six more will be completed by 2018. Now for your weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, including the counties of Montgomery, Johnson, and Clark. Tonight, mostly cloudy. There will be a 20% chance of rain or snow showers. Won't be as cold, with lows around 25 degrees. Tomorrow, partly cloudy skies, highs around 32 degrees. Tomorrow night, cold, partly cloudy, with lows around 22. And on Friday, it'll be mostly sunny. We'll see highs around 38 degrees. Friday night, mostly cloudy, a 20% chance of snow, cold, with lows in the mid-20s. On Saturday, mostly cloudy, with a 20% chance of rain or snow, warmer, highs up around 50. Saturday night, mostly cloudy, a 20% chance of rain, milder, with lows in the lower 40s. On Sunday, it'll be rainy and warmer with highs around 58, chance of rain 80%. On Sunday night, mostly cloudy with a 50% chance of rain and lows in the upper 40s. And at the start of next week on Monday, it'll be partly cloudy with a 40% chance of showers, highs in the upper 50s, and temperatures falling into the lower 50s in the afternoon. That night, it'll be mostly cloudy, cooler, with lows around 35 degrees. It's currently 48 degrees in Ashland, it's 45 in Flemingsburg right now, 47 in Inez, 46 in Lexington, and 47 in both Winchester and here in Moorhead.
Rest easy, friends. A heat wave is on the way. It is 4:44. You are listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. It's good to have you along on this Wednesday afternoon. On our feature story, in Kentucky schools, there is one reported bullying incident for every 4 minutes every school day. MSPR's Kristen Brown takes a look.
With bullying rates at an all-time high, Governor Steve Beshear has announced the creation of the Kentucky Youth Bullying Prevention Task Force. The 22-member group will be traveling to schools across Kentucky to study acts of bullying within schools and recommend practices and policies to help foster a safer and more welcoming school environment. Round County Superintendent Marvin Moore supports the effort of the state to reduce bullying and says the schools in his district are doing their part to help combat the growing problem.
For board policy, we have a zero tolerance on bullying or harassment, and we're going to adhere to that policy. And if we get reports from parents or anybody else the principals know how to deal with it, and we're going to continue to monitor it very close. But I think that sends a message statewide that nobody should have to be exposed to bullying.
According to Moore, his district tries to be proactive with the problem. He says once an incident involving bullying or harassment is reported, Round County school officials act swiftly to uncover the problem and take action.
Once we get those reports, we turn it over to the building principals, and they immediately engaged and do an investigation. And if there's something there, we take every means we can. And if we have to do court process, we do that as well to try to send a message that's not going to be tolerated.
Because of advancements in electronic communication, students now have the ability to stay constantly connected with one another. While that is a good thing in many respects, Moore says that that technology has also helped lead to an increase in bullying incidents.
Technology, they're very savvy with it and very smart with it, and they know some of the things that they can do and think that they won't be caught, but that does open up the doors for students to have exposure to do things that they shouldn't be doing.
Governor Steve Beshear says that being bullied is a common experience for middle and high school age students. The task force will work on ways to empower students and implement practices that root out intimidation and harassment. Although it seems unrealistic to believe that bullying will ever be completely stopped, Marion County Schools plan to continue inviting guest speakers to discuss the severity and ultimate consequences that result from bullying.
Having more programs and bringing in more speakers talking about bullying, people that has dealt with that in their lives, to let the students know that nobody should be uncomfortable around other people because they feel like they're going to be harassed or bullied. And hopefully that the maturity level will kick in at some point and send a message that, you know, this is not the way we treat people.
The task force members will submit their recommendations for policy initiatives and school practices in a report to the governor by November of next year. Reporting from Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Kristen Brown.
It is 4:47. You are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. Coming up at 5 o'clock on NPR's All Things Considered, here are some of the stories they'll have for us. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says state and local officials anticipate a 4 to 5 day workload cleaning up after a historic storm that has dumped up to 6 feet of snow in some areas around Buffalo. Federal regulators reacting to a deadly derailment that they blame on an engineer's sleepiness are recommending better training for the nation's doctors in identifying and treating sleep disorders. And research shows that taking a cholesterol-lowering drug for 5 years in middle age can lower heart and death risks for decades afterward. Those stories and a whole lot more coming up on NPR's All Things Considered at 5 o'clock this afternoon right here on Morehead State Public Radio. Tanner has a check of sports, and he's up right now.
The Eagles look to tip the scales. Good afternoon. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Tanner Boyd. The Morehead State basketball Eagles have road action tonight. 1-1 MSU visits Cincinnati at 7 o'clock. Coach Sean Woods says the Bearcats remind him a great deal of the team they beat that beat the Eagles by just 1 point last Friday. UNLV.
They're long, athletic. They're much thicker than UNLV. They'll be a little more physical than UNLV, but they'll try to press the tempo a little bit. They'll press us a little bit, 2-2-1. They'll fall back in the zone. People are scared to guard us man-to-man, as you can see. So we got to continue to get better at playing against zone.
UC won its only game this season, beating St. Francis of Pennsylvania 52-37 a few days ago. Even Coach John Calipari admits the Kentucky basketball team was very good last night in its 72-40 demolition of number 5 Kansas in the Champions Classic in Indianapolis. Cal was especially pleased with the top-rated Wildcats defense, which held the Jayhawks to under 20-point shooting from the field. He also liked the work of one of his guards.
We got a long way to go. We executed good. Andrew Harrison was unbelievable today. Tyler, you got two quarterbacks that are running your team. But Andrew stood out because he ran us, he defended.
Harrison had 10 points, 8 rebounds, and 3 assists. 3-0 UK will host Boston University on Friday at 7 p.m. Morehead State women's basketball team got their first loss of the season earlier today. Now at 2-1, the Eagles fell to the 13th-ranked University of Kentucky, 91-62 at Memorial Coliseum. The Wildcats started out the game with a 14-0 run against MSU. Head coach Greg Todd says he was impressed with the UK squad.
I felt like they were very focused, but give our girls credit. We didn't quit after the 14-0 run. I thought battled better and made it a competitive in definitely the last 10 minutes of the first half and probably the first 15 minutes of the second half.
The Eagles are back in action Friday night at Indiana. Game time is slated for 7 p.m. The Morehead State football team ends its 2014 schedule on Saturday as the 4-7 Eagles visit Charlotte. Bench boss Rob Tenier, though, wishes the season could keep going, saying he loves coaching his group mainly because they are so smart and versatile.
We can make in-games adjustment. They really understand the big picture of our offense. That's a lot of credit to our coaches and our players as well. You know, when you're able to do that, it makes it a lot of fun, and the kids really enjoy it. They really have something to take ownership in. And so when they see things and can make adjustments and tell us, hey, coach, this is what's open, this is what we can do, that makes you really effective as a football team.
The Eagles will meet a Charlotte team that is 4-6 this season. Riding a 5-game losing streak, the Kentucky football team has the week off before it ends the year with its annual Governor's Cup battle against Louisville a week from Saturday. Coach Mark Stoops admits it's been a tough stretch for his Wildcats, and he says they need some downtime.
Our guys are banged up. They need a couple days to decompress here a little bit and get a little energy back in their step, you know, physically and mentally, just recharge a little bit.
After a promising 5-1 start this year, the Cats will head into their contest against the U of L at 5-6. The Cincinnati Bengals are preparing for Saturday's visit to Houston. Coach Marvin Lewis says, just like during his team's game last Sunday at the Superdome in New Orleans, the Bengals will have to battle a lot of crowd noise.
It's going to be a similar situation. We got to really have a great focus and don't want to have any pre-snap things that beat us. We got to make sure we're on the same page. If we're huddling, that when we leave the huddle, we're all seeing it and hearing it the same and seeing it through the same eyes. And then, you know, and if we're not huddling, we're making sure we're communicating right and alignments and formations and so forth.
At 6-3-1, the Bengals need a win to catch Pittsburgh, which sits a half game ahead of them in the AFC North. Browns Pro Bowl wide receiver Josh Gordon is practicing for the first time since his 10-game suspension ended. Gordon, who led the league with over 1,600 yards receiving last season, worked out with his teammates today and is expected to play Sunday in Atlanta. Gordon had a one-year ban for violating the NFL's drug policy, and which was reduced to 10 games in September, and his return should give the Browns a much-needed defensive jolt. Gordon showed some rustiness by dropping two passes during the portion of practice open to media members. The lead player's lawyer pushing the estimated $1 billion settlement of the NFL concussion claims says the league will pursue scorched-earth litigation if the case isn't settled. Player's lawyer Christopher Seeger's arguments opened a day-long fairness hearing on the settlement in federal court in Philadelphia. The deal would settle thousands of lawsuits that accuse the NFL of long hiding what it knew about concussion risks. The NFL expects about 6,000 former players to develop Alzheimer's disease or dementia in the coming decades. They would get an average of $190,000. Some critics say that's not enough to cover their needs. Others complain that there are no awards for depression, mood swings, dizziness, and other problems they blame on concussions. Senior U.S. District Judge Anita Brody is not expected to rule immediately on whether to accept the deal. In MLB news, Giancarlo Stanton has signed his record $325 million 13-year contract with the Miami Marlins at a news conference formally announcing the deal. Stanton signed the deal at the start of a news conference today while sitting next to owner Jeffrey Loria. The attendance challenge franchise drew nearly 100 members of media for the occasion. The contract is the most lucrative ever for the American athlete and the longest in baseball history. It includes a no-trade clause, and Stanton can opt out after 6 years and $107 million. The Marlins hadn't held a celebrity news conference on such a scale since their last spending spree, just before the ballpark opened in 2012. They went 69-93, leading to a payroll purge. And finally, the Boston Red Sox have claimed infielder Juan Francisco off waivers from the Toronto Blue Jays. Francisco played 106 games for the Blue Jays last season, batting .220 with 16 home runs and 43 RBIs. He has played both first and third base in his major league career. That also includes stops in Cincinnati, Atlanta, and Milwaukee. In 404 games, he has batted .236 with 48 homers and 152 RBIs. At Sports, I'm Tanner Boyd.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Women's basketball will open its home schedule by hosting Brescia at 6 p.m. on Monday, November 24th in the Academic Athletic Center. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks were little changed with benchmarks at or near all-time highs as Wall Street took in stride minutes from the Federal Reserve's last policy meeting, which had some central bankers concerned prices are not increasing rapidly enough. The minutes from the central bank came from its October session, at which the Fed finished its bond-buying program, known as QE, while sticking with its pledge to keep interest rates low for a considerable period. At the close, the Dow actually showed a small loss of 2.09 at 17,685.73. The S&P 500 was down 3.08 at 2,048.72, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 26.73 at 4,675.71. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 19-11 in favor of losing stocks over winners, erasing losses and rising 24 points in the minutes just after the Fed release. The Dow Industrial Average showed actually very good resiliency after the release of the Fed minutes, so apparently many market watchers were relieved that the Fed was not actually threatening to raise interest rates sooner than had been previously expected. Of course, many watchers believe the Fed will start raising interest rates by mid-next year. The U.S. dollar edged higher against the currencies of major U.S. trading partners, while the yield on the 10-year Treasury note added 4 basis points to finish at 2.35%. Crude oil futures for December delivery rose 37 cents, finishing at $75.01 per barrel, while gold futures for December delivery fell $3.20 to finish at $1,193.90 an ounce. Turning now to individual stocks, it was Ashland Incorporated up $1 at $112.82, CSX up 19 cents at $36.86, GE down 9 cents at $26.92, Chevron up 99 cents at $116.46, Fifth Third Bank down 18 cents at $20.01, and AEP was down 2 cents to finish at $57.23. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
And now your weather forecast again for the MSPR listening area. That includes the cities of Ashland, Farmers, and Owingsville. Tonight, mostly cloudy skies, a 20% chance of rain or snow showers, not as cold with lows around 25 degrees. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with highs around 32. Tomorrow night will be cold and partly cloudy. We'll see lows around 22 degrees. And on Friday, mostly sunny with highs around 38. On Friday night, mostly cloudy, a 20% chance of snow, cold, with lows in the mid-20s. On Saturday, it'll be mostly cloudy with a 20% chance of rain or snow, warmer, with highs around 50. Saturday night, mostly cloudy, a 20% chance of rain, milder, with lows in the lower 40s. On Sunday, we'll see some rain, warmer, with highs around 58 degrees. Chance of rain is 80%. On Sunday night, mostly cloudy, we'll see a 50% chance of rain, with lows in the upper 40s. On Monday, partly cloudy, a 40% chance of showers and highs in the upper 50s again, temperatures falling into the lower 50s in the afternoon. It's currently 48 degrees in Ashland, 44 right now in Flemingsburg, 45 in Inez as well as in Lexington, 46 in Winchester, and 46 as well here in Moorhead.
And that's it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Meraz, Tanner Boyd, Joshua Grandison, Jordan Simonson, Nathan Gutierrez, Samantha Morrill, Patrick Davis, Braxton Howard, Kristen Brown, and Sam Steyer. From WUKY, Josh James, and from the Kentucky News Network, Ed Huckleberry. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202 BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Arlo Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, MSPR News. ATC is next. It's 5 o'clock.